Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
John Chow, the American missionary, a young man who wanted to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Sentinelese on North Sentinel Island, his story has literally gone around the world. It's caused all kinds of discussion about missions, missionaries, and whether or not indigenous people should be simply left alone. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. John Chow was someone that we knew because he was one of our Covenant Journey Christian college-age students that demonstrated leadership skills that went with us on our Covenant Journey program to Israel in August of 2015. He was someone who always had a smile, always was enthusiastic. He loved life, loved people, and most of all, he loved Jesus Christ, and he had a burning passion to share Jesus Christ with those that he met, whether it's here in the United States where he traveled or where he guided, or particularly in foreign mission fields. And before 2018, Matt, John had gone to South Africa on mission trips, and he also had gone to India several times, including what's called the Andaman Islands, which is where North Sentinel Island is one of those Andaman Islands. And the reason why he wanted to go there and the reason why he went there in 2018 is because they are the last reached people group. They are the most isolated people from outside contact in the world. And he wanted to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ with the Sentinelese people.
Yeah, and I can understand there being a debate in the world, if you will, about whether Christians should be going or leaving indigenous people alone. But there shouldn't be any debate in the Christian community when Christ's very words, you think of Mark 16:15, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation, Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So to me, the scripture is clear, the word of God is clear. We are to go to everybody. God does not want that any should perish. And knowledge of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through him. We would be remiss in the Great Commission if we didn't go into these indigenous tribes and share the good news of the gospel with these people that God loves.
You know, it makes me think of Campus Crusade for Christ, and I don't know how many languages they're up to now, you know, translating the Jesus film into all these remote languages that we've never heard of, and they go to great lengths to learn them, to learn the dialects, and then they take teams into these remote villages, you know, on camels or on canoes or whatever it takes to show them the Jesus film so that they can hear the gospel. You know, I also think of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and those five missionaries that went to the Amazon with that very purpose of sharing the gospel with these tribes people who had never probably seen people before. And as a result, they lost their lives. But then later I got to meet Nate's son, Steve, and, you know, he took his plane and his provisions and went over there and ministered to them, provided gifts. And eventually, the chief who had killed his father, he led him to Christ, and he came back to the States and became like a grandfather to his children. Jim Elliott's wife, Elizabeth, lived on that island with those people. So it's not a one-time shot, you know, and I'm sure John was aware of that. He prepared and trained for this trip. He didn't just foolishly get in a boat and go over there, you know, so he put great thought and prayer into it.
For a decade.
Absolutely.
Since high school. Everything he did was really for this moment. He trained in medicine, and he also was an EMT. He was a survivalist. He was an outdoor guide that it's amazing some of his photographs. He's hiking in these very high mountainous regions, leading people in the Pacific Northwest. He knew how to survive in hostile climates. He was in shape. He was athletic. He had gone on mission trips. He had been to India, to the Andaman Islands. He went through extensive missionary training. And he actually noticed that he actually, on the first day of contact, made some minimal progress, because when he began to sing Christian songs, the Sentinelese that had their bow and arrows ready to shoot, they put them down and they just listened to them sing the songs and they became quiet. You know, there's nothing in the scriptures that says to take the gospel to all the world, but if you might give them some kind of disease, back off. And, you know, some of the pro-indigenous people say, well, you're going to infect these people with disease. Well, what are they infected with already that they don't have modern medicine? You know, what's their life expectancy? John was not able to see any elderly people. They probably have a very low life expectancy because of lack of medicine. You know, normally you get sick, you get pneumonia, you get something like that. They're going to get diseases, maybe different kinds, but they won't have any medical treatment to address it. They're going to get broken bones. They're going to get all kinds of things that happen with them. And is it better just to leave them in that situation, just from a secular standpoint, than to introduce someone to them who can bring modern medicine? In fact, John had gone through a series of multiple immunizations and went into a quarantine for some period of time before he even went to the North Sentinel Island. So he was very sensitive to that. But one thing that really, I think, is amazing is his love for Jesus Christ and his journal, which we've posted on our covenantjourney.org website. If you go to covenantjourney.org and click on his picture on that front page, you'll go to a series, a page where it has a lot of different articles. And there's one that actually has some of his last words that he penned in his journal. And it is compelling. You can't read that without having tears come to your eyes, because this young man loved Jesus and he was courageous to even lay down his life for someone that he wanted to give life to.
And that was his motivation, you know, and that's what the people needed more than medicine or anything else. They needed spiritual healing. They needed to know there was a God that loves them.
And you hit the nail on the head, Matt. I was already thinking of John 15:13.
Yeah.
Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And you know that John also was had Matthew 10:28 in mind. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul.
Yeah.
And John gave his life for those he loved.
Yeah, he really did. You know, there's a picture of John with two other brothers, the Ramsey brothers, that were on the Covenant Journey trip in August 2015. And John is sitting down, the other two brothers are standing up, and John is pointing to a place on the globe. It may be that he was pointing to Israel, where he's talking and they're all talking about his journey to Israel. But he wanted to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in general, he certainly wanted to do that, but he had a passion to go to the Sentinelese. And I believe that as a result of his life and his ultimate sacrifice, that God is even now raising up young men and women and older men and women as well to go into missions, even to go to North Sentinel. You know, I just visited with Ethnos 360. They were formerly New Tribes Mission. In 1925, they began, and their first five missionaries were all killed for sharing the gospel. And that was the beginning of New Tribes, which now is called Ethnos 360, and they have missionaries all over the world translating the scriptures. And the only way you know how to translate the scriptures is you begin to break down those barriers, you learn the language, you then translate the scriptures, and they have the Word of God. And they're one of many of these mission sending organizations that are doing that. Pray for our missionaries. Oftentimes, we don't think about them, and we don't pray about them. I think that John's story literally has reverberated around the world, China, Europe, all over the world. His story is being talked about. And I encourage you in your own church to be involved in supporting missions and missionaries, both domestic and abroad, and pray for the Chow family. Pray for Covenant Journey. We have so many Christian young leaders like John, who are in so many different areas. They are not necessarily doing what John is doing. They're all over the world. Pray for the Ministry of Covenant Journey as we continue to raise up a Gideon's army. You can go to covenantjourney.org to learn more about John's story. That's covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. The website again, lc.org.